Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. I am so glad that you joined me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I am so glad that you joined me on today, and we stand today in the authority and power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and declare and decree that God's blessing will be upon his people as never before. I just feel in my spirit on today that this is a day that God is one to bless his people. He put it something down in my spirit and heart, and I'm going to share with you in just one moment, but let us pray. Father, we come right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, thanking you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We take authority right now over the air. We take authority right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over everything that would impede upon this show on today. I declare a release for your people as never before, a release in their spirit, a release in their heart, mind, and soul. And God, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen and amen. Well, I hope you grabbed your Bible and all set and ready to go. Today, we're going to be talking about the early church in power and supreme power over human resistance is what we're going to be talking about. You'll find that over in the lesson text going to be from several passages of scriptures that I will read in your hearing. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Luke verse chapter 24 and verse 49, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and verse number 12. And our verse that we'll be looking at is going to be Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. And so our scripture reads, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49 said, and behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you have be endued with power from on high. Then we have Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and then verse 12, it reads on this line. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, and being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him and with John, and looked and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. For all the people saw him walking and praising God. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Jerusalem, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? First number, Acts chapter 4, verse 33, says, and with power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church affirming, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power," 1 Corinthians 2:4. But this was not a new development, but a continuation of how the church began. The promise of the outpour of the Spirit of God was Jesus focused during his final days with his disciples. He repeatedly pointed out that when the Holy Ghost came, they would receive power to be his witnesses throughout the world. Opposition and resistance to the gospel quickly came from religious and political entities, but it did not stop the explosive growth of the church. Instead, ordinary people allowed God to use them and work through them in spite of persecution, and they accomplished miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, Jesus' promise of authority over all power of the enemy, Luke 10:19, became a living reality to the believers and empowered them to overcome resistance from human opposition to the truth. Powerful truths transformed faithful followers into believers who trusted the Lord to fulfill his promises of power, protection, and provision. Now let's take a look here at the power and effective demonstration and proof. Let's look at God initiated his church. Before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, Jesus made a powerful promise about the success of his church. He will rebuild it regardless of the opposition arrayed against it. Matthew 16:18. The Greek word for the church is ecclesia, or the group of people called out for a specific purpose. These God-called people responded with a willingness to obey his word. After the resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days with his followers and shared with them many things from the scripture, Luke 24:27, 44-45. He wanted to anchor them in the word of God, and he wanted them to focus on receiving the Spirit. Thus, he instructed them to walk in Jerusalem for the promise. In Jerusalem for the promise. And when they questioned him about restoring the kingdom of Israel, he redirected them to the promise of the power through the Spirit. And you'll see Acts 1:8. This explosive experience exceeded anything else the disciples have known. They soon learned that what they received on the day of Pentecost was certainly worth the wait. Now, God ordained his church. Jesus sent out 70 workers in pairs to the cities and places that he later would visit. He sent them forth with the promise of a great harvest and a prayer request for laborers. They returned joyfully, exulting in the power that they had over demons through Jesus' name. Jesus then told them of the power that they would have over serpents, scorpions, and even Satan himself. However, he directed them to rejoice not in the power over these elements, but to rejoice because their names were written in heaven. Then Jesus himself rejoiced, perhaps because they were awakening to the power that he had given them. The disciples then exercised the power in their outreach effort. The gospel writer tells us that Jesus commissioned his church to go with the good news of the gospel to the world. They were to teach, to preach, to baptize believers, and be powerful witnesses for the Lord. Jesus promised that signs would follow them, that he would confirm the word they preached with signs as well. Indeed, the Spirit power enable one to be witness. Word, amen, dunamis, later denotes power, strength, might, or authority in action. God certainly expects his church to be an active for him in the world. He wants his church to have power, strength, might, and to move in action in authority. Now, let's look further. God established his church. Jerusalem was a focal point of fulfilled prophecy, both from the ancient writers as foretold by Jesus from after the resurrection. His disciples were to preach repentance and remission of sin in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Furthermore, the disciples were to wait there for the promise of the Father. Now, Jesus ascended to heaven. The disciples obediently waited in Jerusalem for the promise of the Spirit. And soon after the disciples returned to Jerusalem, they received the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost powerfully filled Peter and the others who made up the group of about 120 in the upper room. In response to the questioning crowd, Peter preached a powerful message. He cited Joel's prophecy of the outpouring of the Spirit of God along with other scripts from the book of Psalms. When others' questions followed regarding what they, the listeners, should do, Peter responded by preaching the word of Jesus. We are still to preach repentance and remission of sin in the name of Jesus, as well as receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Indeed, God established his church upon the revelation of his identity and the message of repentance and remission of sin. He continues to fill repentant people with his Spirit today. Now, God conducted the dynamics of his church growth and activity. Growth in God's plan is both natural and spiritual realm. It takes place in both of those realms. He desired to see his kingdom increase, and he wants to advance individual believers to greater maturity. Isaiah prophecy concerning the coming Messiah included growth of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. Isaiah 9 and 7, Father, increase, increase, I declare. In fact, growth and increase is the destiny of the church. After a dynamic beginning, this new church of over 3,000 born-again believers continues steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of the bread and in prayer. Acts 2, 4 and 30, 2 and 42. Moreover, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, Acts 2 and 47. This addition soon became the multiplication as the Spirit-filled believers began sharing their experience with others. And Lord, as the children of God continue to share our experience with others. Let's look further. Ordinary men and women that God used, the transformed man. During Christ's arrest and trial, all the disciples fled in spite of following Peter's lead of pleading to die with Jesus rather than to deny him. The disciples then hid behind closed doors after the crucifixion, fearful of possible suffering the same fate as Jesus. This group of frightened men and followers of the resurrected Lord showed his hand and sighed and said, "Peace be unto you." Moreover, one of Jesus' first message after the resurrection included this command, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." The sound of the rushing wind filled the upper room where the disciples were assembled as a ecstatic group spoke in other tongues. When this was noise abroad, a multitude gathered to see what was happening. The power of the Holy Ghost transformed the fearful disciple into bold witnesses. Instead of being scared of the crowd and intimidated by the question, Peter, along with other disciples, stood and declared the divine record of the resurrection and the plan of salvation. So powerful was the presentation that 3,000 and more received their new birth experience that day. This group continue steadfastly and daily in united effort to reach the world with the truth that transformed lives, Saints, let us not lose our focus, amen, of sharing the witnessing, the sharing of the good news, and telling people of the power of God, that life will be transformed by our witness. Let's look further at the transformed women. Women were followers of the Lord during his ministry on earth, especially in evidence. It was evidence throughout his final days. They also demonstrated their devotion to Christ by being the last to leave the cross and the first to arrive at the tomb. Many, amen, and moreover, several women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, even was among the 120 who received the Holy Ghost in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Peter quoted from the prophet Joel in the message on the day of Pentecost. And you'll see that Acts 2, 16 to 21, and Joel 2, and verses 28 to 32. Though this prophecy was approximately 800 years old, God showed his faithfulness by fulfilling it after the passing of 8 centuries. The prophet identified daughters and handmaidens as being among those in whom the Spirit of God would abide. Furthermore, the book of Acts mentioned women such as Dorcas, Lydia, Priscilla, serving in the church. They were both instrumental and influential in their service to the Lord. Moreover, Paul clearly stated that the new covenant of the baptism is not gender specific like that of the old covenant of the circumcision. You'll find that over in Galatians 3, verses 27 to 28. Instead, all become one in Christ Jesus as truth triumph by transforming both men and women into powerful believers of the gospel. Now let's look at the source of this power. Now, the I am claimed of Jesus conclusively proved the significance that we find in him. He will be all that we need since we are insufficient ourselves. We discover perhaps the greatest of these I am statement in the Lord's promise. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world, Matthew 28 and 20. His continuous presence is a powerful promise to propel his people into the harvest and to sustain them in the world. When Jesus told the disciple about the Comforter, he let them know that he would go away, but that he would send his Spirit to them. He promised, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The persecutor of the church had to acknowledge the presence of the Comforter. In spite of their threats and persecution and perception, they marveled at even the boldness of Peter and John by taking knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Not only had they been with Jesus for over 3 years, but they now know, they now had his Spirit also dwelling inside of him. Let's look further. Let's look at the Holy Spirit. In his gospel, John mentioned the Comforter several times, identifying him both as the Spirit of truth and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised to send the Comforter to the disciples after his departure. John the Baptist prophesied of the Holy Ghost baptism as a primary work of the Messiah. It is significant that John focused on the Spirit in the statement rather than healing, raising the dead, and other phenomenal works of Jesus. Now, in the book of Acts, Luke twice referred to the prophetic utterance regarding the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The first instance was when Jesus focused his disciple on the promise of the Father that they would receive in Jerusalem. The second occasion was when Peter explained to the Jewish brethren about the Gentile receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, both instances reaped in the life-changing experience from those involved and the world-changing potential for the church. These changes are still possible today through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, the power of the Holy Spirit will bring a final change to the believer by bringing them into the blessing of eternal life, into the heavenly home. Instead, the rapture will occur because of the resurrection power of God's Spirit. Now, until then, the power of the Holy Ghost makes changes in the believers and empowering him for spiritual growth. Colossians 1 and 27 says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. My God, my God. Now, God also, he made a choice to invest his power in humanity. That's where we as privileged people have received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's take a look at that wonderful investment. Jesus possessed all authority in his church. He put his authority into action, which translated into power. Moreover, he promised his followers the same power through the Holy Ghost. He commanded them to wait in Jerusalem until they've been endued with power from on high. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, they will become witnesses of Jesus throughout the world, beginning in Jerusalem. Acts 1 and 8 said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in the Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. Now, the Apostle Paul declared, but ye have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God not of us. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, and verse number 7. Now, this amazing and transforming power of the Spirit is resident in the believers to help them faithfully endure all difficulties and obstacles and circumstances. Peter and John reached out in faith to the lame man by the gate called Beautiful, Acts 3, verses 1 through 11. They did not have silver or gold to help the man who had never taken a step in his life of more than 40 years. What they did have was power in the name of Jesus, and by his authority they admonished the men to raise up and walk. This distance from the temple gate called Beautiful to Solomon's porch was only a short walk, but the healed beggar leaped and praised God for all the way while a wonderful crowd gathered. Peter was quick to deny that the miracle resulted from their power or their holiness. Instead, he preached a message about Jesus, the resurrection, and repentance, proclaiming that the name of Jesus and faith in his name have made this lame man strong. Now, let's look further at the power of Satan. Now, the persecution of the church took another fatal turn when King Herod executed James, the brother of John. He then imprisoned Peter, because the Jews were pleased with such action. And so further, amen, even King Herod came from the line of rulers, amen, who opposed the righteousness and had historically spilled the blood of the innocent. He exercised great power in the region that he ruled, and he could have targeted the church for terror and destruction. As the scripture revealed, he stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. However, the hand of God was greater and brought deliverance for Peter. Now, let's look here at a critical element that I want to share with you in the highlight of our show today is the power of prayer. Now, while four centurions, or four squads of four soldiers each, held Peter in prison, and the church was held praying, prayer meetings, praying earnestly for Peter. While other guards stood outside Peter's cell, he slept bound with chains between two guards. Death was likely his destiny in the next few days. Peter felt peaceful enough to sleep through the night. Perhaps he took the promise of Psalms 127 and 2 literally. He giveth his beloved sleep. In response to the prayer of the church, the Lord dispatched an angel to his servant in the prison cell. Once before, an angel had brought freedom to Peter in prison, Acts 5 and 19. The consequence of the sequences of events of this angelic visit is worthy for us to take a note. Now, first of all, the angel came. A light shined. Peter was awakened and told to arise. He had to gear himself. He had to put on his sandals and his garment, and then he had to follow the angel through the doors. Although God performed this miraculous event, Peter had to act and take action and respond to make it as well. Deliverance from the chains in the prison required his participation. At first, Peter thought he was seeing a vision. He had preached the prophecy of Joel that spoke of the dreams and vision that he had seen in a vision while he was on the housetop of Sion. However, when he realized that he was free, Peter made his way to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. A prayer meeting was in progress with several believers gathered there. He soon discovered that it was easier to get out of prison than into the prayer meeting. However, he continued knocking, and someone finally admitted him into the house of astonished believers. Peter related the story of his miraculous deliverance and told them to relay the report to the others as well, including James, the brother of the Lord. Indeed, we should always share good news and give our testimony of deliverance, publicly announcing and answering of the prayers by an awesome God that is able to do all things but fail. Let's look at the power of God's wrath. Once Herod learned that Peter escaped, had wrought his plan, he vented his wrath by killing the guards. However, powerful as he was, he soon experienced a greater power of judgment and wrath. His civil duties took him to Caesarea, where he delivered a speech, and the response of the crowds was flattering as they explained. It is the voice of a God and not of a man, Acts 12:22. Becoming filled up in itself, Herod did not acknowledge God, and he gave himself the glory. Amen. Immediately an angel appeared and smote Herod with a deadly disease. His body became infested with worms and he died. Historian Josephus related an account of Herod's death very similar to that recorded in the book of Acts. Now look at the power of God's response. Death came to Herod while Peter enjoyed deliverance. Not only did Peter receive the freedom to minister, but he offered also other church leaders such as Barnabas and Saul, who Paul and John Mark were instrumental in the early church revival, continued to grow in both numbers and church and influence. Addition became multiplication in the church as the word of God spread, increasingly and effectively changing lives. Now let's look further. The disciples seek the power of God. Prayer unfolds as any central act paralyzing the church, and persecution and punishment prompt more prayer, which produce more powerful activities for the new Christian. For example, Acts 3 and 1 tells of Peter and John on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. Evidently, prayer had become a priority with the apostle. After the lame man was healed, the Jewish authorities seized the apostle and held them overnight. The next day, they questioned Peter and John, and the high priest threatened them. After their release, they went into other believers and with their testimony. Instead of retreating or in defeat, the church rose up and lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which have made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, Acts 4:24. Their prayers was for boldness to speak the word in spite of the threats and for the Lord to demonstrate his power through more healing, signs, and wonders. The Lord was pleased with their prayers, and the place where they were gathered shook as the Spirit of God again filled them. God then imparted a new, renewed boldness to the disciples to preach the word of God. This focus on prayer continued with the apostle. When a need for taking care of the widows came up, the apostle prayed and then appointed 7 men to minister to the need priority. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, Acts 6:4. And I come to tell you, children of God, God is calling his church back to prayer. He's calling us to give ourselves to prayer and to his word. Amen. Let's look, as we get ready to close this wonderful lesson, God continued to give power to his church. The Spirit of God continued to empower the church today. Paul declared to the Galatians, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. Certainly the Holy Spirit is the heart of both abundant life and spiritual progress. As a result of their prayer meeting, after being threatened by the chief priests and elders, the apostles received great power. They witnessed of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which brought great conviction to the religious leaders responsible for his crucifixion. Their testimony and preaching brought deliverance and deliverance to those that sought the Lord. God also imparted great grace to the apostles. The combination of great power and great grace bring victory to the church as it continues to be a witness to the world for Jesus. Now, God grants power for a purpose. Jesus summarized his mission with the statement, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost, Luke 19:10. Everything he did and those yet today is for that purpose. Although central signs may glamour or entertain this crazed world, God does not display his power for entertainment. Now, during the trials before the crucifixion, Herod was glad to see Jesus, for he was desirous to see him for a long season because he had heard of the many things that he had done and hoped to have seen more some of the miraculous things that Jesus had done. However, the Lord did not satisfy Herod's curiosity with a miraculous display in a carnal atmosphere. So you must recognize that if God is not doing a miraculous thing in a carnal atmosphere, he would not do that because he said a carnal mind is infinitely against him. So, you know, he's not going to operate in that type of an atmosphere. But if there's a need and those that are hungering and thirsting after him, he will perform the miracle and move by his power divine. Neither should the church seek signs today for the sake of producing something central. Now, the message of the resurrection was common, a common topic for the apostles, and they continually emphasized this truth in their preaching. The story of the resurrection was what grieved the religious rulers and caused them to apprehend and threaten the apostles. Yet the apostle continued to speak of it with boldness and great power. Oh, Ramashanda. Oh, I heard the Spirit of the Lord just hit my mind, my spirit. And he said this. This is what he said. He said, there are men and women are not standing up and boldly declaring, amen, the word of the Lord, amen, and his resurrection and his power, amen, amen. We have to go back to that and share and witness and be a witness in this earthly realm of his power, amen. The resurrection has many links attached to it. A death was necessary for there to be a resurrection. The cross of Calvary and the Savior's sacrifice are also necessary components of the story. These aspects of his death are what afford the blessings of being bought with a price. The empty tomb speaks of God's power. Oh, God, I hear God saying that's what we need to go back to and keep preaching and teaching over death and hell, and his impart this power to the people who desire a change in their lives through salvation. Indeed, the hope of heaven anchors believers to a solid faith in Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ constitutes the gospel message, the good news. The gospel is our identifying with him by dying out to our old lifestyle through repentance, being buried with him in water baptism, the resurrection to a new life by receiving the Holy Ghost. The abiding Spirit of God empowers this new life so that a Christian witness and spread the gospel, the good news to the others in this world. Now, as I conclude on today, Paul, amen, was thankful for an open door at Ephesus that was effectual for the evangelism. However, he acknowledged that there was adversaries. Although none have been able to defeat its adversary, have always came against the apostolic church. The adversary always comes against it. Satan has opposed the church because of the transforming power delivered, but he has no way to defeat the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ and his saving name. Just as Jesus, through his death on the cross and by the powerful resurrection, defeat and destroyed the work of the devil, so the church will be triumphant. The promised Holy Spirit that Jesus imparted dwells within the church today. Certainly the word of God assures us of the intention of a work through us in a great way. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The early church was born of and thrived in the power of the Holy Spirit. Believers had encountered much human and satanic opposition, but never had opposition been effective in defeating God's divine design. The Apostle Paul emphasized the resurrection in his preaching and in his personal walk with God. The church today can exist and expand in victory through the power of the Spirit of God, which results in spiritual resurrection today and the promise of the future rapture and the resurrection of the dead. My God, child of God, we must recognize that power, that dunamis power that was delivered unto the church and the message that we must continue to preach, the death, burial, and the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to keep praying. Help us to keep preaching it. Help us to keep teaching it. Help us to keep being the witness that you called us in this earthly realm, that you invested your wonderful power in and through our lives. Help us to stay on that wall, oh Lord, our Lord. How excellent is your name. So, child of God, I'm so glad that you joined me on today for this wonderful lesson. I pray that it was a blessing to you. I tell you, it blessed me. It caused me a Deuteronomic experience. Amen. The call to remembrance. Amen. That which we're called to do, that which he has called us as children of God, our purpose and our call, even in this life and in this world, that we will continue to hold up that bloodstained banner and the victory that God has obtained for us on the cross of Calvary. And so in my closing, child of God, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it. And we're just one question away from our miracle. All you have to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door, or it shall be open unto you. And until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. There's a no sorrow blessing coming to you and your house today. So all you have to do is claim it in the name of Jesus. And so until we meet again, call someone. Encourage them to come and meet us at home, and that they will be tremendously blessed by the power of God. Until we meet again, God bless you. Bye-bye.